Do you struggle with the words, I love you, or you're special? How about the words, you're a blessing? Do you tell people in your life that this world would be different if you wasn't here? Are you the type of person that tell those who are close to you, your life has meaning. Your life has purpose. Your life is a life that if it wasn't here, our lives would be different. Or are you the type of person that goes the other way? Are you the type of person that tells individuals that you're worthless? Your life has no meaning. I wish I never met you. I could care less if you went to hell or not. What type of person are you? What type of person do we come across? What type of people do we come across on a daily basis? Do we come across people who invoke blessings upon us or curses? Something to think about when we consider the Bible teaching as it relates to blessings and curses. When I consider the book of Leviticus, only two times we find the word bless in the book of Leviticus, and that is in Leviticus 9 and verse 22 and 23. However, when we think about the word blessed or bless or blessing, I want to impress upon your minds, family, that this is a biblical doctrine. This is a doctrine, this is a teaching that permeates, that saturates the Word of God. As a matter of fact, friends, I want to impress upon your minds tonight that if you have not looked at the word blessed or bless or blessing, I want to impress upon you to begin looking at it even closer. And the reason why is because when we consider the word bless or blessing or blessed, I'm reminded of what God told his people in Deuteronomy 11 in verse number 26. Today I set before you this day blessings and curses. You know, when I consider the word bless, when I consider the word curse, God has always given us choice. God made choice for salvation for the people of God, for the children of Israel, Deuteronomy 14, 23 and 25. God chose Israel and promised to give them an inheritance, promised to give them a land, promised to give them a place of security. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 7, it was because of the covenant that he made with Abram that he was going to bless his people. He tells them in the book of Deuteronomy, I have not chosen you because you are of a great nation, because you are large in number. If anything, you are few in number. I chose you because of the promise that I made to Abraham. God made choice. God made choice to bless his people. And even in Acts chapter 15, we find God still making choice. God made choice to save the Gentile world. God made choice, friends. God made choice to allow us to have choice, to have free will. As a matter of fact, I'm reminded of what Joshua said in Joshua 24 and verse 15. He told them to choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. You're either going to serve the God of your fathers or the God of the Amorites who are on the other side of the flood. You make choice. You make a choice. Man can either choose to use his mouth to bless or to curse. See that in James chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Friends, when I consider this teaching and I consider blessings and curses, I'm just so enthralled by what the Bible has to say concerning blessings or blessed or bless. The phrase bless or curse, blessing and cursing, is a biblical doctrine and is worthy of our consideration. worthy of our meditation, application, and proclamation. Friends, did you get that? This is a doctrine that is worthy of us considering, meditating on, making sure that we do all that we can to apply it to our lives and then tell other people about it. Blessings and curses. For your consideration, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 18 through verse number 20, and I want us to notice something just very swiftly as it relates to blessings. Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting at verse number 18. Notice what is said by God through Moses. I announce to you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I called heaven and earth as witness today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life. Friends, did you see that? He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. Friends, it's all about the blessings, but it's also about the cursing. As a matter of fact, when we consider the very mind of God, friends, when we think about the blessings of God, it comes through obedience to his will, obedience to his word. But if we consider the curses that God placed upon people, he places those curses upon them when they disobey him, when they walk contrary to his will, when they do that which is not found in the word of God, according to his utterances. Yes. There is a lifestyle difference between blessings and curses. But I also want us to notice in James chapter 3, we just kind of glance over this by way of quotation, but I want us to read this. Because when we consider passages that promote this thought concerning blessings and curses, I want us to notice James chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God. We eulogize our God. We talk well of our God. Then notice the latter part. And with it we curse men. We speak evil toward men. We pronounce a curse toward men. We wish man bad. But then notice what he goes on to say. Who have been made in the likeness or the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be. Oh, friends, as we set up this idea of blessings and curses, when we think about this biblical doctrine of blessings, some 400 times the word blessed or bless or blessing is used in the scriptures. Now, friends, if God uses the word bless or blessed or blessing 400 times, I believe he meant something by it. As a matter of fact, when we consider this idea of blessing, it saturates the Bible, and I'm afraid that many have failed in this area of spirituality. And by no means is it a foreign concept to God. Blessings, curses. Not foreign to God, maybe foreign to some of us in the world, yea, the church, but not to God. God is all about blessing his people. God is all about blessing those who do his will. God desires to pronounce blessing upon his people. But what does this mean? The first time we find the concept of the word bless being used is found in the book of Genesis. I want us to turn our Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through verse number 28, as we consider the blessing part of this lesson. And really, that's going to be the main focus, because when we understand the blessing, we ought to understand the opposite. Friends, A lot of times when we consider Genesis 1, 26 through 27, remember that at this particular time, the Godhead, the second person of the Godhead, Jesus Christ, says something very powerful. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And then he pronounces something upon them when you drop down to verse number 28 and notice what your Bible says. And sometimes, friends, we read right by it. As a matter of fact, I was talking to a brother in Christ and I told him, look at Genesis 1 and verse number 28. And immediately he went to and God told them to be fruitful and multiply. No, and God blessed them. Y'all see that in your text? Look at your Bible. Don't look at me. I know I'm good looking, but don't look at me. Look at the Bible. Look at what God says. And God blessed them. God, what do you mean by this? Look at that word. It carries the idea of kneeling. Also carries the idea of invoking that which is good upon. If we was to put it in our vernacular today, we would say that God was placing value upon his creation. He was saying, in essence, that Adam and Eve, you're valuable. You're good. I want that which is good for you. When we stop and we consider just for a second by way of application, think about the power of blessings and the power of curses. Both of them are equally powerful. For when you tell your child that they're going to be something, when you tell your child that they are valuable, when you tell your child life would not be different without you, they're going to live that out. But if you tell your child something totally opposite of that, they're going to live that out unless someone intervenes, intercepts, and captivates their mind to cause them to think that I am of value, I am worth it, I am somebody. And the very fact, friends, that we have been made in the image of God, we are valuable. Amen. Two images we're made in. Number one, we're made in the very image of God, Genesis 1, 26. Number two, we're made in the image of Adam, Genesis 5, verse 3. We have two images that we're made in. We are a spiritual image, for God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And we're also made in the image of Adam, fleshly. Two images. God blessed us with two images. There is not another creation out there that has been blessed with two images like we. That's powerful in and of itself. That's a powerful thought. If anything, when someone has a good understanding of what God's mind is and God's word, friends, to understand that you have been made in the image of God, you are already valuable. And this is the problem with Adam and Eve in the garden. They didn't see how blessed they were. And because they ate of the fruit, they have went against the word of God, the utterances of God, and then God had to pronounce curse upon them. Why? Because they disobeyed God. And God said, in the day that you eat of the tree, you shall surely die. That's the curse. God is consistent. And because God is consistent, we have to ask ourselves, how consistent are we? But then, as we travel through time, we see that the minds of men was on evil continually, Genesis chapter 6. And we find one who found grace in the eyes of God, Noah, Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. And then we find God telling Noah that he was going to destroy the earth with water. And when he destroyed the earth with water, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 9, and I want to show you something in verse number 1, and sometimes, again, we go right over this passage, because when we understand the blessings of God, and that God made man valuable, God made man upright, God made man significant, God says you are worth something, God had to repeat himself. So here we see God is ready to deliver Noah and his family, and he lets them out of the ark. The Bible teaches us in Genesis 9 and verse number 1, and God blessed them. And how did God bless them? He told them to be fruitful and multiply. The same thing that he told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply, he tells Noah the same thing. He blessed them, be fruitful and multiply. We already have a line of communication that is consistent with God. And it goes with the prayer that was just prayed by our brother, that we are a family. God is establishing family. So we're already seeing that the true blessing is in family. Family. What is the problem with our nation today? The family. You know why the church buildings are becoming emptier and emptier? Because of the demise of the family. So here we find God telling Noah, be fruitful and multiply. He blesses them. He says, you're valuable, you're significant, you're worth something. And the next thing you know, they're being fruitful, they're multiplying. Uh-oh, we got another problem. Genesis chapter 11. In Genesis chapter 11, verses 4 through verse number 6, in that area, you'll find that the people, again, are trying to make a name for themselves. It's called the Tower of Babel. Next thing you know, God had to come down and confuse the languages. Why? Because they were going to kill themselves. Next thing you know, we find God telling Abram in Genesis chapter 12, first three verses. He said, come here. Leave your land. Go to a place where I'll show you. You're going to be a blessing. And whoever blesses you, I will bless them. And whoever curses you, I'm going to curse them. What do we see? We see in God bless his people again. See, God does not want the attitude of the Tower of Babel as it relates to making a name for themselves. That's going to bring upon a curse upon you. That is the attitude of pride. No, God is looking for a man of humility. So he brings Abraham out of the Ur of Chaldees, and now he's going to take him to a land where he's going to show him, and he says, I'm going to bless you. And what did God do with Abram, friends? He blessed him. He blessed him in his old age with Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. And we see the line of blessing going on all the way through this man. Man is valuable. This is all about family. This is all about being significant. But what was going to come through this blessing, friends? The seed. Jesus Christ. Oh, friends, I know you already know this. But when I look at the underlining teaching of the book of Leviticus, and I think about what God was doing as he was blessing his people, it was always about family. It was never about individualism. It was never about one person. It was all about us being a family. And this is why Jesus Christ had to come through this lineage. Why? Because it was about the family. If you will, I want us to just kind of keep in mind that God was going to be blessing the people. Turn your Bibles to the book of Galatians chapter 3. In Galatians chapter 3, we understand that the idea of this seed, this blessing, coming through Abraham's seed. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 through verse number 9, we see the majesty of the blessing. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham. Sons? Children? Family? Blessings? Yes. Think about this. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentile by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. Blessing. Blessed. How were all the nations of the earth going to be blessed? They were going to be blessed through the seed. They were going to be blessed through Abraham's seed. You remember, it was Abraham who in his old age had a child with Sarah, who was also barren and of old age, God was going to be doing that because God was going to be blessing his people. What happened, though? A curse. Abraham and Sarah took matters into their own hands. Well, maybe God wants us to do it this way. Bring Hagar. Go in unto her. She conceives, has Ishmael, never in the plan of God. Curse. You know, that's a good lesson for our land today, that when you go outside of marriage, it's never good. Amen. Never good. The blessing is inside marriage. That's why when we talk to our children, we want to talk a blessing into their lives. We want to tell them that they're valuable, that you want to keep your body pure, that you want to remain a virgin, and we ought to be telling them this from the cradle to the time that they get married, pronouncing blessings in their lives. They're valuable. They're significant. They're worth something. In our day and time, men and women are not doing that. Look at verse number 9. So then, those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. Drop down to verse number 16. Notice what your Bible says. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one. And to your seed, who is Christ. Drop down to verse 26 through verse 29. For you are all the sons of God, notice, by faith. For as many of you that have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Now, notice the terminology, friends, in verse number 26. And don't miss this. That we are a family. We have been blessed with Abraham because of the seed that came forth from his bowels, Jesus the Christ. We can then be in the family of Abraham. So he says, you are all the children of God, one translation says. Another translation says, you are all the sons of God, which means that we are the family of God. How? Through faith. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. We are blessed. Why? Because of Abraham. We're blessed because of Christ. And then notice what he says in verse number 28. There's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. Hold on. We lose our identity in Christ. No longer, put your seatbelts on, no longer are we identified by our race. No longer are we identified whether we're bond or free. No longer are we identified by our nationality. We're identified by the seed, the blessing, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's our identity. That's the blessing, which means that the opposite is just as true. That those who are outside of Christ, John 3, verse number 34 and 35, we understand that they are under the curse of God. They're under the wrath of God. Wow. The blessing is in Christ. Notice verse number 29. Here it is. This is the dagger right here. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. What promise? The promise that in your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Which the opposite is just as true. Before we go any further, I want us to consider some things. In the 1940s, there was this book that was written called Cipher in the Snow. I don't know if you ever heard of that book. It was made a movie in 1972, 1973, a 21-minute movie. It's about a young boy who had a mother and father who got divorced young in his life. As a matter of fact, even when his mother and father were together, the boy was ill-treated by his mother and his father. The father would talk negative things into the heart of the child. Well, story goes on that the mother, she remarries. And the husband that she married, the man that she married, Well, he didn't like the boy, so he would talk negatively as well to the boy. Well, it was said that while the boy was in school, he would do okay. And then when the mother remarried, his grades went further and further into the ground. And then over a period of time, the boy would find himself isolating himself, finding himself being alone. He would walk around with his head down. One day, as he was on the bus, it was a cold winter day, he got up and he told the bus driver, I need to get out. The bus driver said, why do you need to get out? I just need to get out of the bus. The boy steps out of the bus, takes 3 steps, and falls flat on his face in the snow. Bus driver gets off the bus, trying to turn him over, say, get out of the snow. The boy was dead. They do an autopsy on the child because they were just going to leave it alone. But the teacher said, you know, there's something about this boy. It was something about him. At one time, he was real cheerful. And then over a period of time, he became sadder and sadder. Autopsy showed that the boy died of a broken heart. All because it was pronounced curses in his life. He was talked negatively to. He didn't feel worth it. He didn't seem to be significant. His life was to be over. It didn't matter to anyone. You know, I think about that. And I think about the book of Genesis. And I think about how this book was all about families. Men and women trying to have children can't have children. The stigma of a woman not being able to have children, her continence would fall. The stigma of a woman who could have an abundance of children, and she would have a good continence, a good attitude, a good disposition. And here we see that most of the people in the land in which we live in, yea, even the Lord's church, the church of Christ, who walk around with their heads down, all because they've been battered and blued and beat up by the world, by their spouses, by their children, yea, the church. You know, sometimes, friends, if we're not careful, we can doom our kids before they're teenagers. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can ruin our marriage in the honeymoon stages. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can beat the brethren down all because we're speaking curses and not a blessing. You know one thing we see in God? We see God speaking a blessing to his people. I'm reminded of what Paul tells the Philippian brethren. You can do all things through Christ who empowers you. I'm reminded of what John told his little children. He told them, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I'm reminded of what Paul said as it relates to salvation in Romans chapter 8, 28 through verse 31. That all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Drop down to verse 31. If God be for you, who could be against you? So God was always attempting to bless the people. Why? Because he knew that you can go over this Jordan. He knew you can cross this Red Sea. He knew that you can make it into the promised land. You're always going to have those who are going to say, we can't do it. We're like grasshoppers in their sight. They curse the people instead of blessing the people. Put your seatbelts on. Type of person are you? When people talk to you, do they feel like they can conquer the world? Or do they feel like they need a volume? When people talk to you, when they get through with you, when they get through with us, do they feel like they can do all things or do nothing? Amen, friends. God has always spoke a blessing to his people, but he says, but if you didn't do what I told you to do, and even in the suffering of God, we find God still sending prophets, still sending prophets, still sending prophets. Why? I want you to turn. I want to bless you. I want you to be a blessing. You're significant. You're valuable. And then we see Jesus. We see Jesus being a blessing. Turn your Bibles to the book of John. Because friends, it's all about pronouncing a blessing. It's all about the family. It's all about encouraging one another unto love and good works. Friends, the church is supposed to encourage one another. And in that encouragement, sometimes there's some reproving, some rebuking, yea, exhortation. All that is part of the blessing. All that is part of the salvation process. But then I want to bring you a point that I learned from Brother Josh 2 years ago at camp. When you look at John 4, verses 1 through 26, we're not going to read all of that. But we come across this woman of Samaria. Remember, she was up there getting water. She brought her water pots. She's going up Mount Gerizim, and as she is on top of Mount Gerizim, she is there at Jacob's well, getting water to take care of her family, to take care of her needs. We understand that according to Deuteronomy 11 and verse number 29, that the blessings and the cursing, they were pronounced there. Here we find Jesus talking to this woman. She has some real family problems. Been married a couple of times. Probably thought that her life was probably pretty much over as it relates to being in the community, as it relates to the people seeing her as a woman of any type of stature. Ill repute. Who wants to deal with her? She's been married all of those times. And the man that she's with is not even her husband. You know they look down at her. Probably thought in her mind, I'm not going to be anything. I'm never going to be anything. And then I meet up with this man named Jesus. The seed. The blessing. And here we see that the blessings were read on Mount Gerizim and the curses on Mount Ebal. And here we find the blessing, Jesus Christ, on top of Mount Blessing, giving a blessing to this woman. Did you get that point? You know, the only way people are going to be blessed today is in Jesus. The only way people are going to be blessed today is to come in contact with people who know Jesus. Friends, do you know him? Because if not, and this is what we see in our land today, even in the church, we got members of the Lord's church who act like they don't know Jesus. They're living lives of sin. Here they're living a life of cursing. Because they know that if they die in their sins, and Jesus said, if you die in your sins where I am, you cannot come. Question. The blessing. What is it? It is God pronouncing that which is good upon us in order that we can live for him and help someone else. When was the last time you told your wife, your husband, you're a blessing? When was the last time you told your child, you're significant, you're worth something, I love you? When was the last time you just leaned over and told a brother in Christ, I appreciate you? When was the last time you told someone who was out in the world, God loves you so much that he sent his son? You know, we can help the world by just being a blessing ourselves. Oh, friends. Oh, yes, I love this study because it teaches us the value of man, the value of Christ, the value of the word, the value of the gospel. What do you think is going to happen to your son, Joshua, if you keep telling him he's going to be something, that you're going to be God's man, that I want you to be a Christian, that I want you to be moral and holy and just and righteous? What happens if you keep telling your child that? They're going to believe that. And then when they grow up, as they grow up, they're going to say, I can be just like Christ. But the opposite can happen. One thing we know about God, that God had to be at his wit's end before he would throw his hands up. The question we have to ask ourselves is, Are we a blessing? Or are we a curse? Do we pronounce a blessing? Or do we pronounce a curse? So questions. Do we speak well or good into our families or friends, yea, even our enemies? Do we encourage or promote good, or do we wish ill will on people? Friends, we have to watch that ill will attitude when it comes to the president. We have to watch that ill will attitude when it comes to our enemies. Jesus loved his enemies. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 8, still in the Bible unless you ripped it out. God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. A sinner is one who is hostile toward deity, hostile toward God. He is the one that speaks very loftily against God. He is the one that is bringing a curse upon his life by his very actions, his mentality, his attitude. And friends, let us never have that attitude. We realize that we're a blessing because of the spiritual blessings we have in Christ. God blessed us by making his son a curse for us. Oh, friends, did you get that? There was no way that we could come into the presence of God. When I consider the book of Leviticus, I consider how does a sinful man approach a holy God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You want to be blessed? Go out there and teach people the gospel. He that winneth souls is wise. When we attempt it and we succeed through the grace and knowledge and the obedience to the word of God, James 1 and verse number 12, we're blessed. We can propel forward. We can know that the very fact that I am doing what God wants me to do, that he's going to bless my life. Why? Because I'm valuable. I see the problem with most people today. If you were asked most people today, how valuable are you? I tried it. I tested it, friends. I'm not up here with fluff. I would say 9 out of 10 would tell you, not of much value. Wow. And those who think they are valuable are looked up as being arrogant and puffed up and all about themselves. No, sir. When I'm in Christ, I understand that I can do all things through him. I am what I am by the grace of God. I see why people will give their bodies up to another human being without putting a ring on it, because they look at themselves as invaluable. I can see why the Muslims would teach their children that you can go and blow yourself up because they're learning that they're valuable, but that's the wrong value system. And because of that, they blow themselves up and they lift up their eyes in torment. But when I'm not valuable, I will take not only you out, but anyone else, even myself. And hear God as he promotes value, as he promotes significance, as he says that you're worth something. We take that in through the word of God. We apply it to our hearts. We allow it to move around and roll around in our minds. Philippians 4 verse 8 and 9. And we live it out in our lives. And we go out and we tell people, not only am I valuable because I'm made in the image of God, but you're valuable because Jesus Christ shed his blood for you too. Valuable. Blessing. Wow. When we obey God, being doers of the word and not hearers only, James 1:25 says we are blessed. Our very lives speak well of God and his grace. 1 Peter 1 and verse number 3. So the question is this. How valuable are you? Are you blessed? Or are you cursed? Have you been spoken well of? Have you been spoken well to? Do you speak well of others? Do you pronounce blessings in their life or curses? Because James says it very well in James 3 verse 8 through 10. With the mouth, we eulogize God. And with the mouth, we curse men. Which one are we? The blessings or the curses? I know all of us can work on our mouths. And friends, God has always taught us to be a blessing. God has always taught us to do right by your enemies. God has always told us build up one another. He's always told us to encourage one another. And the last thing he wants us to do is bite and devour one another. Why? Because when you bite and devour one another, you'll see what's out there in the world right here. If anything, the church is a place where I can be encouraged and strengthened, and reproved, and rebuked to do what God wants me to do. But it starts with me. It starts with me. So which one are you? Are you a blessing? Or your curse? When you enter the room, does it light up? Or when you exit, does it light up? Which one are you? Isn't God good? It's a good teaching right there, friends. 400 times, over 400 times, God mentions that concept. I really believe, Evelyn, he wants us to get it. And even if he mentioned it once, Dennis, that would have been enough too. But 400 times, I think God is saying, get what I'm saying. Why? Because I bless you. I want you to be a blessing so you can bless someone else. Everything that Jesus did, he did for another man. Which means that we have to die to self so we can be a blessing to someone else. Let's have a word of prayer. Father in heaven, thank you for blessing us tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the encouragement. Thank you for the reproof and the rebuke. Thank you for the admonition. Thank you for being our God and blessing us with life. Father, we know that we're valuable. We're valuable because of the seed, Jesus Christ. We're valuable because of the cleansing of sin, the blood of Christ. We're valuable because of where he is sitting at your right hand, eternal life. Father, thank you. Help us to have the mentality that we desire to be a blessing and not a curse. Help us to live our lives in a way that people will see us as a blessing, as one that can promote good and morality. And wholesomeness in a life that is immoral, in a world that is sin, full of sin. Help us, dear Father, to always be mindful that you want us to be a blessing. We thank you, Father, and please forgive us for our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I leave you with these words. When Jesus Christ, listen, when Jesus Christ began the Sermon on the Mount, he began blessing them. Blessed are. You know, maybe we ought to start some of our conversations by blessing people instead of cursing people. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. The death, the burial, the resurrection, the very appearance of Christ is found in 1 Corinthians 15:1-8. But not only that, we understand that Jesus Christ, after John the Baptizer was cast into prison, came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of heaven, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The church. One cannot obey the gospel unless he understands what the church is. For the church is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ was preached by Philip in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 12. It is that gospel message that frees man from sin. And when he is baptized into Christ, he comes in contact with the blood of Christ, Hebrews chapter 9, 14 and 15, that he may put away dead works, serve the living God. For it's the blood of Christ that cleanses our conscience from dead works. See how God blesses you? By cleansing your conscience from dead works, even taking away the guilt of sin. Why? Because he doesn't want you to live a life of sin. Be faithful even to the point of death, and God will give you a crown of life. God not only blesses us to make us in his image, but he blesses us with a salvation process, and he blesses us with eternal life. God is all about blessing his people. But maybe you're a child of God and you don't even think you're blessed. Let me say this. Whether you have two nickels to rub together, a house to live in, or a car to drive, if you have eternal life, you are blessed. Sometimes we put too much emphasis on the material instead of the spiritual. Our spiritual blessings has nothing to do with our material blessings whatsoever. For we understand that the poor man, the beggar, was in Abraham's bosom, and he didn't have two nickels to rub together. But the rich man who had all things, and even Abraham told him that, yet he didn't have eternal life with God. I think I would rather be blessed by God than anything else. As we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.